listen to me. Oh!
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Knoll. Today, we're going to talk about why Americans are eating so much meat. They're gorging on it, according to research that was just published this morning by Kelly Holloway. And I'll tell you about that. Also today, they found that in guarana, something I don't recommend because of its high caffeine content, but there's a way of extracting the caffeine and getting this enormous amount of antioxidants. In fact, it has more antioxidants than green tea, according to the University of Sao Paulo. Also today, from Florida Atlantic University, a natural compound found from deep water marine sponge found to reduce pancreatic tumor size. That's good news. Also, berry eaters, and there's a lot of them in this audience, you may be at the lowest risk of diabetes. According to Zhejiang University in China, they looked at 400,000 people. And if you consume the most berries, wow, you were much better off. Also, we'll look at an unhealthy diet during pregnancy could be linked to ADHD. And a longer report today, one compiled by Kirk Stokel, on high blood pressure, because a lot of Americans have that. Not that difficult to deal with, naturally. Also today, I'm setting a lot of time aside to explore the college debt crisis. It's worse than what you think. I'm going to quote verbatim from Neil Swidley from the Boston Globe, a recent report that he just did. Quote, "We tell students they need a bachelor's degree to get ahead, but for too many, the numbers no longer add up." That's an understatement. Then from our environmental segment today, a good report as always from Dar Jamel. In the Arctic, ancient diseases are reanimating and highways are melting as temperatures hit frenzied records. Also, how's that working out? All of you who supported Obamacare thought that you could believe everything he said. You can choose your doctor. It's going to save you money. Well, as we predicted, Obamacare is a complete and total disaster, and it's killing the middle class. I'll explain why and why we should have a universal insurance so we don't go broke. And also today, a commentary from John W. Whitehead. If voting made any difference, they wouldn't let you do it. I think you'll find that interesting. And also the Clinton transition team. Now, whoever selects the transition team is very close to Clinton, someone that she is allowing to be responsible for appointing about 4,000 people in all. Now, that person won't appoint all those, but the people they appoint, other technocrats, the best and brightest, will fill up almost 4,000 jobs. So who is that person? What do they represent? Never heard of Ken Salazar? You will. And from our audio file today, remember about a year ago I had Greg Palast on, a man I have a lot of respect for. And he said that the voting machines could be compromised and have been. But now it's not just about voting machines. It's how, in the last election cycle, Obama would never have been nominated if people knew the truth. This is a major network expose. It's a short piece, but very revealing. It's called "So You Didn't Write That, Woman." I did not. You understand what that means. Also, it's all about election fraud. And then Hillary Clinton shared classified documents about Greek bailouts and Greek finance. To whom? Her son-in-law. You mean Chelsea Clinton's husband? Okay. What did he do with that? You'll hear. Also, how war continues and who profits from war. The weapons and the persistence of global conflict. Those are some of the issues. As you see, we have a lot to take on. Let's begin. I'm a big advocate of fruits and vegetables and organic plant-based vegan diet. Now, over the decades, I have been able to show as a scientist, as a dietitian, including work I did at Trafalgar Hospital, where I was affiliated, and the Institute of Pipology across the street, that we could substantially improve recovering patients' health, including those in hospice care, by a plant-based diet and other things, but mainly a plant-based diet. The idea that someone should be eating more fruits and vegetables at that time, we're talking about the early 70s, was considered, well, completely unscientific. Therefore, it was resisted. The chief physician said, no, there's nothing wrong with the American diet. And I remember that there was a cancer patient. Now, I knew the cancer patient. That cancer patient was my editor at a major publishing company. And they were giving her bacon and eggs, reconstituted eggs and bacon and Jell-O and all this other food. And when I objected, he made an issue. And so I went to the director of the institute and I went to the board of the hospital. And I managed to get Fanny Holzer, who was a very famous human rights attorney, to intercede. And as a result, I was able to get the kind of healthy food, at least into those people I was able to get it into, made a big difference. So when people ask, where did your diet come from? Well, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle and behavior modification program. A big emphasis upon the fruits. The more berries, the better. The more reds, the better. Now, we believe that you should only have, depending upon which dietitian you trust, anywhere from 4 to 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. If we tripled that, that would be more accurate. And especially when you consider how much you're getting when you juice a fresh glass of vegetable juice. Here's the latest from Zhejiang University in China. Quote, scientists at the university in China reported that the potential benefits from eating fruits, berries specifically, could be linked to the antioxidant properties of anthocyanins in berries and their regulation of inflammatory responses, as well as via pathway to reduce blood glucose and insulin resistance. Type 2 diabetes mellitus and its associated complications cause serious medical and socioeconomic burdens. The findings of the present meta-analysis of 400,000 individuals provide sufficient evidence that dietary intakes of anthocyanins and berries are associated with a lower risk of type 2 diabetes mellitus, respectively, end quote. And that was published in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition. So there's two ways of looking at that. For those of you who have been using your berries, either fresh, organic, or frozen organic, or as concentrates or juices, because a glass of grape juice is great, organic grape juice. But then the most powerful, the most healing, the most beneficial is when you eliminate the water, which is 97% of a juice. And what you're left with when the water's wicked off, which is about 2 to 3%, that's your active ingredients. That's where all the anthocyanins, that's where the polyphenols, that's where the phytonutrients are. When you have that, that's the greatest concentration of all, and that goes in the bloodstream at the highest concentration. So you've been right. So for those of you who were pre-diabetic or not, those who were diabetic and are not, those who would not become diabetic, it's that simple technique. So you see, if I look back over 40 years of all the doctors who were the experts, and they were all wrong, how many patients did they sacrifice? How many people took their advice thinking that the diet wasn't that important, when the diet was very important? So now you know you're on the right side of health and science, because they have no science, not a single study on their side showing that, well, if you eat the American diet and have lots of sausages and bacon and lots of refined carbohydrate and colas, you're going to be dead sooner. That's the only science they have on their side. Guarana has been used a long time. I'm opposed to it because it was in a lot of these energy drinks. And I saw a lot of people, including kids, who were using these energy drinks to stay awake because they were staying up late at night, who were hyper, because when you're taking in that amount of caffeine, you really can't sit still. You suffer from what would otherwise be termed akesthesia, the inability to sit still, in which case you may be misdiagnosed with ADD or ADHD, put on drugs. This is the latest study out of University of Sao Paulo Public Health School. They found that there is a catechin, cata, C-A-T-E, chin, C-H-I-N, which is a class of chemical compounds with very good antioxidants and anti-inflammatory properties. And they found that this is extremely high in the guarana. And this was based on some clinical trials they did. So what I suggest is, and this is not difficult to do at all, get caffeine-free guarana, G-U-A-R-A-N-A. That way you get the benefit of a huge amount of antioxidants without any of the overstimulating properties of the caffeine. And for those who suffer from pancreatic cancer, know someone who does, scientists at Florida Atlantic University, Harbor Branch Oceanographic Institute, found that a deep water marine sponge collected off Fort Lauderdale's coast contains a natural product that has the ability to inhibit the growth of cancer cells, as well as block cancer cells from dividing using extremely low concentration of the compound. So that's good. This was published in the International Journal of Cancer. Let me spell the particular chemical for you. It's a natural product. Leiodermatolide. So that way, they did research on pancreatic cancer, which is the fourth leading cause of cancer death in the United States. And just to give you an idea, pancreatic cancer patients have less than a 7% survival rate within 5 years of being diagnosed. That doesn't mean terminal. That's just all pancreatic cancer rates. So 94% of them, 93% are going to die. So, and 74% die in the first year. So this is very important to know this and be able to do something about it. And also, unhealthy diet during pregnancy could be linked to ADHD. This is from King's College London and University of Bristol, published in the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry. Quote, they found that a high-fat, high-sugar diet during pregnancy may be linked to symptoms of ADHD in children who show conduct problems early in life. So, just another reason why, as I've suggested, if you have an intended pregnancy where you're planning it, make sure that you take your time, detoxify completely, both physically and emotionally, and that way you have a greater chance of being able to have a healthy child come into the world instead of one that's not. Also, this is from Kelly Holloway from Alternet. Americans are gorging on meat in amounts not seen in decades. The cliche about the American diet being mostly meat and potatoes has seemed less true over recent years, with vegetarianism going mainstream and veganism gaining popularity. But old dietary habits die hard, possibly because of their clogged arteries. A new study finds that there's been a reversal in meat eating declines, with the last year seeing Americans piling their plates higher with meat than they have in nearly 40 years. That's not great news for Americans' health and potentially devastating to the planet. Our Rabobank, a global research firm, found that between 2014 and 15, there was a 5% increase in meat consumption. And that's terrible. So I will be premiering my new film worldwide, first in theaters, for a special showing of one night, and then over the internet to try to get the message out, because I deal with this in a rather dramatic way, as you will see. So hopefully will be able to encourage people to give up their meat. And finally, we know how bad high blood pressure is. Did you know, however, that in your lifetime, you have a 90% risk of developing high blood pressure if you're 55 or older? And right now we have at least 40 million Americans who visit the doctor each year because of this. Plus we have those that are called post-hypertensive stable, meaning they have high blood pressure, they're on medicine. You're dealing with 90 million Americans. And we know that if you do not have good blood pressure, you're going to damage your kidneys, you're going to damage your vasculature, you're going to have a greater likelihood of a heart attack, stroke, or kidney failure, and tens of thousands of deaths attributable to hypertension every year. But some new research has come out from a group at Cambridge Institute for Medical Research, and they found something interesting. And this ties into what I said earlier about berries. They found that when we have oxidative stress, that's just normal living, being around polluted air, oxidative stress, exercising, oxidative stress. That's why I always said exercise is a double sword. On the one hand, you gain better muscle strength, better coordination, greater hormones that are natural opiates, the feel-good hormones. When we exercise in the morning for about 45 minutes, we secrete these endorphins, which make us feel better. We have better detoxification, better elimination, better resting heart pulse. But on the other side, the exercise has created oxidative stress. So if we do not take our juices and take our antioxidants like vitamin C and vitamin E, we can end up with oxidative stress even though we had some benefit from the exercise. So we want to take our antioxidants and exercise so we have no downside. And they found that there's a dangerous relationship between oxidative stress and what is called angiotensin. And that's a hormone that boosts blood pressure, often to dangerous levels. And a group of scientists found that angiotensin's parent molecule, angiotensinogen, and they found this out in the lab, and then they found that there's some things that can benefit to bring it down. And guess what their top items were? Grape seed extract. Well, for those of you who've been using your grapes every day, or grape juice, or your grape powders, wow, have you been putting health on the right side of the ledger? Here's what is said in this article. Quote, grapes contain biological active compounds, most notably multi-targeted polyphenols such as resveratrol and proanthocyanidins, which are associated with improvements in cardiovascular risk factors. Extracts of grape seed are rich in beneficial compounds, their constituents including antioxidants that reduce markers of oxidative stress, such as oxidized low-density lipoprotein, the LDL, that are associated with atherosclerosis. These antioxidant effects can directly prevent or treat elevations in blood pressure, and grape seed extract operates at multi-additional targets to achieve their beneficial effects on blood pressure. They fight advanced glycation end products, an early step in producing inflammation associated with cardiovascular disease and cancer. This means that grape seed extracts hold promise not only in preventing hypertension, but also in fighting some of the most deleterious effects of kidney damage. And grape seed polyphenols can also reduce salt-sensitive hypertension and can lower blood pressure. Now then, they also have another one, and that is resveratrol, and they say in grapes, and they say that that helps switch on our longevity molecules and can help fight chronic stress. And it's a powerful antioxidant in its own right. And so want to live longer? Resveratrol. And finally, they say pomegranate. The pomegranate has, quote, demonstrated benefits for cardiovascular health and blood pressure control. And pomegranate juice and extracts are rich in some of the nature's most powerful polyphenols. And those molecules contribute to a reduction in cellular oxidative stress and help restore natural antioxidants to effective values. So, there we have pomegranates, those are berries. And because you look inside the little tiny seeds, they're fruit, but the little orbs inside function just like a berry, and plus grapes, all to lower your blood pressure. That's the latest on health and healing. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to meet you, everyone. Glad that you are spending some time here. We have a lot more important issues going into some of the commentaries. But I want to share something that you have not been made aware of that is important, and everything I'm about to tell you is absolutely correct and historically accurate. It's what I thought you should know. And it's this. On Route 265, on May 10, 1975, two men lured a 12-year-old girl into their car. Now, this 12-year-old girl was beaten so badly and raped so violently she was in a coma for 5 days. Her injuries were so severe that she would never be able to have children. 41-year-old Thomas Alfred Taylor was charged with rape. The evidence was damning. His underwear had his semen mixed with her blood. Taylor's lawyer pulled every dirty trick in the book, attacking the victim's accusations at just 12 years of old. She said, quote, she wanted an older man. The lawyer said, and she fantasized about being raped. Yeah. Mr. Taylor's lawyer went so far as to suppress damning physical and oral written evidence against Mr. Taylor. She was successful, including evidence that the 12-year-old victim was a virgin before she was raped. Because of the tactics used by Taylor's defense attorney, a violent child molester and rapist got off with just 2 months served. That's it. After being beaten and raped by Mr. Taylor and then humiliated and dishonored by this lawyer, it took over 20 years for her to come to terms with what happened to her on May 10, 1975. Recently, she saw that same lawyer on television and she didn't like it. So here's what the message is. Quote, you lied about me. That's what she said. You lied about me. Who was the lawyer? Hillary Rodham Clinton. Hillary Clinton. So, and we have her actual voice to prove that, where she's bragging and laughing about getting her guy off, knowing that he was guilty, knowing that she could harass, browbeat, and denigrate this woman. So I have a question, and I think it's a legitimate question. If a lot of women are going to vote for Hillary Clinton because, as she has said repeatedly, she is for women's rights, and a lot of feminists out there believe her and are supporting her because of that, then understand that if you were able to vote for any other male who had caused a young girl to suffer and spend most of her adult life in shame and anger, would you vote for him? You see, younger millennial and more seasoned feminists call Hillary's feminism faux feminism. She has never once come out against her husband's sexual dealings. How bad are those sexual dealings? I interviewed a lawyer who is one of the highest rated lawyers in the state of Texas, who was Bill Clinton's girlfriend in high school. They went to high school together. And they had an affair that stretched right up to when he became president. Hillary was fully aware of this affair. But as she said, that Bill had bragged to her, even before he became Attorney General of Arkansas, that he had already sexually seduced 2,000 women by that time. How many since? No one knows. But Hillary seemed less concerned about how many people he had sex with than the fact that he had gotten caught, and therefore created a whole little brigade to go out there and find these women and try to deal with them so it did not impact her and her husband's career. She has viciously attacked women who have gone public about her husband's sexual advancements upon them, thereby negating millions of women who have been harassed and are afraid to come forward because they will be treated the way Hillary has treated them. Also, Hillary said that victims of sexual assault have a right to believe. In practice with the dozens of women accusing her husband, she doesn't abide by this stance. She has called the women who have accused her husband whores and sluts. Jennifer Flowers she called trailer trash. Former Miss Arkansas Sally Perdue reported that the Clinton machine threatened to physically harm her if she didn't keep her mouth shut. Private investigator named Duba claims that after Bill lost his second governor race, Hillary told him, quote, "I want you to get rid of all these bitches. He's saying, I want you to give me the names and addresses and phone numbers, and we can get them under control," end quote. Kathleen Wiley, whom Bill allegedly sexually assaulted in 1993, claims the detectives hired by Hillary threatened her and her children, even killed her cat, Juanita Broadwick, who accused Bill of raping her in 1978, reports that she also was threatened by Hillary personally. So Hillary represents the worst of corporate capitalism, military adventurism, over diplomacy to advance America's interest, and at the cost of innocent lives, including women and children all around the world. If she cares about women's rights, what about the 500,000 women in Iraq that lost their children because of her and her husband's sanctions? Yep, over 500,000. And that is according to the actual studies that were done at the time. In fact, I have it right here. Let me just quote it. I'll come back to it in a moment. But it shows over 600,000 dead because of Clinton's, Bill and Hillary's, blockades and embalming of infrastructure that caused death of children. So if she's for women and children, she's not for them. What about Iraqi children? What about Libyan women and children? What about Syrian women and children? What about Honduras women and children and civil rights leaders? So which women exactly are you for? Because then you're not a true feminist, and some of the so-called true feminists are not true feminists. They're political feminists, but where's the spirituality in what they're doing? You see, Hillary Clinton idolizes profits over feminist values of nurturing and community building. Millions of single mothers cannot support their children with the measly minimum wage that Hillary's wishy-washy about. She continues to believe in the war on drugs, continues to believe that your kids, especially if they're colored, should be put in prison for minor drug possession. In short, women have always been a part of the working class, and Hillary's an enemy of the working class. If you doubt me, look at her record at Walmart when she was a union-busting attorney, when she tried to get dresses made in China but say that they were made in the USA, and that was caught out, by the way, where she wouldn't want women to be given maternity pay. And her support of Israel is a disgrace to all women. Israel, which has destroyed the lives of hundreds of thousands of Palestinian women and children, and yet the strongest movement to stop that is coming from within Israel, something you rarely, if ever, hear about. But there's a very powerful group of ultra-Orthodox rabbis and their parishioners and peace activists and generals and former commanders, including heads of Mossad, all who see that what Netanyahu has been doing and Ariel Sharon before him is wrong. It only fans flames and does not make anyone safer. When was the last time you heard them interviewed on television? And then she has one of her closest aides is Madeleine Albright. Albright's her hero. All men and some of the worst specimens of compassionate masculinity are manifest through Kissinger, Kagan, Goldwater, Lawrence Summers, Sam Walton, and Madeleine Albright. And Albright, as her model, she's a challenge because didn't she say there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other, meaning supporting a vote for Hillary? Then where is her place? She'd have to have a whole kingdom of hell just for her and Hillary. She's been an ardent apologist for Walmart employee policies that kept millions of families in working poverty. In fact, she wrote in her 2003 book, Living History, that CEO Sam Walton, quote, taught me a great deal about corporate integrity and success, end quote. And exactly what were those values? Her assertion that her vote on the Iraq War was, quote, the best decision I could have made with the information I had, is an out-and-out lie, considering that prior to voting, she neglected to read the 92-page classified national intelligence estimate on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction circulated to the Senate for review by the Bush administration. That national intelligence estimate went into great detail about the objections raised by the State Department and the Department of Energy to claims of nuclear weapons in Iraq, and led multiple senators, including Bob Graham of Florida, to vote against the war resolution. So you see, at every level, you have that. Plus, if she really cared about people, if she cared about Bernie's supporters or progressives, why in the world would she select Ken Salazar? Ken Salazar, of all people in the world. You don't get worse when it comes to someone who has any humanistic values. He is a neocon. He does not believe in climate change. He is for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And yet he's the one who's going to be, he was our former Interior Secretary, by the way, who has a malign track record on climate. And the team also includes former National Security Advisor Tom Donilon and former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm and President for the Center for American Progress, Neera Tanden. These are all neocons. And Salazar was a big corporate Washington, D.C. Lobbyist. And he has been out there supporting Keystone Pipeline. So you have to understand that she's selecting these people, as did Obama, and they know what they're getting when they select them. That said, I want to play a little clip now. We're going to go to audio clip on the following subject. Clinton shared classified information on Greece. Please listen.
The establishment might have let Hillary Clinton off the hook for setting up her own email server, but her emails are still out there now for everyone to read. And people are still reading them and still finding evidence of just how crooked Hillary is. Crooked enough to be thrown in jail, for sure. Fox News has been reading through her emails, of course, and they recently did a story on something ridiculous they found. You might recall a few years ago, Greece was in a major debt crisis, launching the largest sovereign debt default in history. Clinton was Secretary of State at the time, and her emails have a lot to say about how Secretary Crooked handled it. Because at the same time, Chelsea Clinton's husband, Crooked's son-in-law, Mark Mizvinsky, was coincidentally creating a $325 million basket of offshore funds with the help of Goldman Sachs. Those funds were used to place bets on what would happen in Greece. And gosh, wouldn't you know, he was placing those bets at the same time Crooked, as Secretary of State, was sharing lots of classified information about what was going on in Greece through her private email server. She shared classified information with her Clinton Foundation cronies about what the actual leaders of Greece were saying, information at the highest level. She also emailed sensitive State Department information about Greek bonds with her husband. At the same time, her son-in-law was targeting his hedge fund at Greece. In other words, she was emailing classified information about the Greek bailout to family and friends at the same time her son-in-law was placing multi-million dollar bets on what would happen in Greece. So yeah, crooked enough to be thrown in jail. Which is why it's so great that there's now a website called HillaryIsTheNewOrange.com, where you can buy an orange prison jumpsuit with inmate HRC 2016 on the front and the name Clinton on the back. Apparently, she'll never be made to wear prison clothes, no matter how crooked she is. So you might as well wear one in her honor. Tonight, let's talk about that.
Yes. RTV. More to come. Now, going to take just a few minutes, tell you about something that's very important. First, a little background on it. About more than 2 years ago, a friend of mine who is just turned 50 came by my office one day and says, Gary, I've tried everything. I can't get rid of this kind of creepy skin around my knees and on my neck, and I'm starting to see some deeper lines, etc. And said, look at my skin's, you know, showing all those veins. I said, the veins have always been there. I said, instead of paying attention to your diet and how much sun exposure you had and dealing with it as you got it, you just assumed that because you didn't have these problems for 45 years that you would never get them, and that's the cumulative damage. And this person was claiming they had tried all these different products, and then a year later they had tried some this special cream out of Hollywood that was supposed to be miracle. And later I would take a look at it. It was a long, like 45-minute infomercial. And I just couldn't see the science in it. But I decided at that point, that was my motivation, to see if I could outdo every other skin care product in the world. I wanted to set a standard. But to do this, I would have to do things they hadn't done. And that's what I did. And so I replaced Ageless Answer, which was the best, with something that I consider better, the next step, the next evolution. It's called the Total Body Moisturizer. Here's what's in it. Deionized water blended with oat beta-glucan. Now, why would I blend with oat beta-glucan? Because oat beta-glucan, or what is known as Avena sativa, helps to moisturize the skin as well as heal minor burns and wounds. It's beta-glucan can help reduce wrinkles and promote anti-aging skin, and it's been used as a skincare product for centuries. Oat helps to relieve itching and pain and help to heal minor wounds, and also known for their moisturizing and smoothing effect. And then I use horsetail, and then nettle extracts and aloe vera. From the best aloe vera. There are many different types of aloe vera, but mine's grown organically down in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, where I grow all my own aloe to use in my aloe drinks and my my shampoos and conditioner and soap. And this is the Barbadanus Miller. And then I use Metafoam seed oil and a vegetable squalene, and alpha hydroxy acids, and beta hydroxy acid, which is a willow bark, salicylic acid, and silica gel, and a saccharide isomerate, and vegetable glycerin, and calcium ascorbate, which is a ester C, and phosphatidyl lecithin, and what I don't see anyone else using, a tissue respiratory factor, and also ubiquinone, which is coenzyme Q10, and borage oil, and evening primrose oil, and lycopene, and tocopherol, and retinoic acid, which is a palmitate, which is vitamin A, and then essential oil fragrances from almond, and vanilla. And when you look at just the aloe vera I use, it contains over 200 nutrients, including the anti-inflammatory and the polysaccharides and the enzymes, the amino acids, and the vitamins and the wound-healing nutrients. It increases cell wall permeability, allowing nutrients and active ingredients to be more easily and readily carried through the skin while aiding the removal of toxins. And aloe has been known for its soothing, moisturizing, and anti-inflammatory effect. And then I use the coenzyme Q10 because it helps restore the lipid barrier, making skin look and feel firmer, and also helping prevent collagen degradation. And then your borage seed oil, it contains a fatty acid called gamma-linolenic acid, or GLA, and has strong anti-inflammatory effects. And borage flour might have an antioxidant effect, And there's ample evidence on research on both humans and animals showing that borage oil has a significant, powerful effect on skin. And then primrose oil, one of the best things in the world you could put on your skin. So anyhow, I put all this into the Total Body Moisturizer. So you won't be able to get the other products because this replaces them. Quite simply, this is the next generation. Now, Ageless Answer was the best. Now, this is better, an improvement. And what I've done is actually I've lowered the price down. So how do you get it? Call this number, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And get brand new, just out, Total Body Moisturizer. So here's what I would suggest. If anyone knows a better product anywhere, compare it. Compare the most expensive $500,000 product out there with this. This is inexpensive, and I know of no other product that's out there that can begin to compare with this one. Again, 877-627-5065. Now, also today, I want you to hear from Dr. Roy Spicer. And nice to have you with us today, Roy.
Nice to be on, Gary.
Because I was watching in the last 2 weeks, I was watching horrific fires in California. In one community, 82,000 people had to be evacuated. Over 100 homes were destroyed. They said it was once in a 500-year fire. But we've had seven of these once in 500-year events just in the last year. I also saw where they had the worst rain in the history of Louisiana. The whole state was flooded, and they had to rescue over 30,000 people, and it's still going on. And a couple of weeks before that, it was West Virginia, then Wisconsin. And what you're seeing is people who suddenly have to flee their home, homes are lost, and they have nothing that they have set aside to protect them. But then you get looking at all these water systems around the country that we're now being told for the first time, oh, yeah, your water has got all these chemicals in it. It's got these medicines, it's got these heavy metals, it's got these chemicals. And people forget that Flint is only just, it's the tip of the iceberg. So as someone who is a scientist, someone who's reviewed this carefully, first tell us how bad the problem is so people understand that when they turn on that tap and they're getting some water, that they may not be getting clean, healthy water. And then separately, you see some ads on television. I saw one at an airport where I was just flying, and it showed, oh, we've got this great water filter, a little screw-on water filter. And I'm thinking, well, compare it to the Gary Null filter. You know, they haven't done that. How can they say they're the best? They haven't been in competition with me. So give us the background on water, please.
Well, as you're aware, Gary, over the years, decades, more and more contaminants have worked their way into our drinking water supplies, industrial dumping, agricultural runoff. Now, hospitals and pharmaceutical companies have been dumping drugs into the groundwater for decades, and it's coming back up in our drinking water. The most recent ongoing Associated Press investigation regarding pharmaceuticals and drinking water found 46 different medications in the U.S. drinking water supplies. Again, 46 different medications. That affects over 41 million people who are drinking water contaminated with these small quantities of pharmaceuticals. And that includes antibiotics, anticonvulsants, mood stabilizers, sex hormones, cleaning solvents, sunscreen agents, caffeine and fragrances, plus many, many more pharmaceuticals. Now, even though they're in trace amounts, scientists are very concerned that over time, you know, if you're exposed to this over a period of years and decades, including people who are women who are pregnant, elderly, high-risk groups, people who are taking medications, this is going to have some serious negative health impacts. We don't even know what that's going to be yet, but obviously there's a major concern. Now, this is one study on top of many other studies that have talked about the effects of chlorine byproducts. They're using chloramine now, which is a combination of chlorine and ammonia for disinfection, which is even more harmful than chlorine by itself. It affects your kidneys. It'll kill your fish. It's a very toxic product. People are getting very severe reactions, allergies, and respiratory reactions from it. Plus all the heavy metals, lead, Flint, Michigan, was just, again, like I said, a tip of the iceberg. They found over 90 cities in the United States, this is an older study, that had lead levels over the emergency level, or the action level, which is 15 parts per billion. In some cases, it's as high as 100 to 200 parts per billion. And that's extremely neurotoxic, and children have been drinking water, you know, for years with lead in it. Flint is a disaster. Those people and the children are going to be impacted the rest of their lives. They're going to be damaged. So when you add it all up, including the fluoride that's added to the water, which is neurotoxic, it's a chemical soup. That's what you're really drinking in most cases around the country. It's not water anymore. It's just a blend of toxic contaminants. So when you see ads on TV for, you know, touting different filters, they're really entry, what I call entry-level minimal filters. They don't really have the capability to remove the whole level of toxic contaminants. They're you know, good for a little bit of chlorine, possibly a small amount of lead, but they don't last very long, and most of them have only been tested for maybe between 4 gallons and 10 gallons of water. An average family uses 2-3 gallons of water a day. So you need filters like yours that can take out contaminants like chloramine. Your filter's been tested to ANSI NSF standard 42, and it removes 99% of chloramine for up to 700 gallons. That's a large amount of water over a period of time. Chloramine is removed 99% by your filter for up 1,000 gallons of water. Now, fluorosilicic acid and all forms of fluoride have been tested with your filter, and it removes 92% of all forms of fluoride up to 500 gallons. I'm reading your recent reports here. And as far as pharmaceuticals, your filter was just tested against the new standard, the NSF standard 401, and it reduced greater than 95% of 15 different pharmaceuticals, including acetaminophen, progesterone, ibuprofen. These are common pharmaceuticals found in water systems. So you have a filter system that is far better. I'd say 50 to 100 times better than most filters out on the market. As far as the minimal filters out there, they're not even in the same league. And you cover the whole range of contaminants. And, you know, anyone that has your filter already, they should get the new filter with Metalgon, the pure Metalgon filter, and put it in their system. And if you don't have a filter, you should definitely get this new ceramic Metalgon filter that you're offering.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Roy Spicer. So there you have it. And you heard from Dr. Roy Spicer, not from me. I intentionally didn't call him because I don't want people to think, okay, what's your filter? You know, let us hear an expert. Well, you heard him. So if you want what I consider the best water from the best water filter on the planet, and if anyone out there believes that you have a $5,000 Japanese filter is better, we've tested them. Bring it on. All right. At this moment, I know of no better water filter for household use on the planet, and it's inexpensive. I don't know how much it is today. I'm on the road. I don't know. But call so you have the best of the best. 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. By the way, we have something brand new that's very exciting. As you know, a lot of people no longer can be by a computer or by a land-based station to hear their program in their favorite time. However, with the Progressive Radio Network and my shows, the vast majority, over 99% of the people, listen at home. So they listen, they go home, they get on their computer. Now you don't have to. Now you can use a phone and listen to the archive shows whenever you want. So here's the number. So write this down. Now there's two numbers. One is where you listen live, all right? And the other is where you listen to the archives. So if you want to listen live Monday to Friday, noon to 1, you'll call, and I'm giving you a couple different numbers. So just keep adding them to your number bank. 424-203-8046. 424-203-8046. But if you want to download archive shows, let's say you want to listen at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you can download an archive show over your listening device, your phone, whatever it is. Here's the archive phone. 701-719-9976. Again, 701-719-9976. 1-800-273-8976. So now you can listen to any program you missed, even last week when we had transmitter problems, when we were hacked, I believe, and off the air for 20 minutes. You can, our full program, uninterrupted, is on the archive, and you can go to the archive anywhere in America, Canada, call that number, and listen to archives. This is brand new. And by the way, 12,000 people used it last week. 701-719-9976. I want to share some things that I find important. I'm advocating for a third party. I do not believe that we should support the lesser of two evils with our current Democrat and Republican Party, because I believe most of you are aware that it doesn't matter whether you would vote for a Trump or Clinton, you're still getting the most powerful oligarchical families in the world behind both. So they don't care who wins. But if they got a Jill Stein or a Rocky Anderson or even a Gary Johnson, though he's regressive on about 10 issues, but he's very progressive on 22 issues, you would have a game changer, something that would fundamentally disrupt the political system as we know it. And that's why third-party candidates count, and we should be supporting them. Even if they don't have a chance seemingly in this election cycle to win, by supporting them, we're saying no to the duopoly of the current corrupt two-party system. And that's why I believe you should pay attention to what Jill Stein's advocating. We have this concept, according to John Whitehead, and I certainly support it, that in fact, vote or don't vote, the police state will continue to trample us underfoot, unless it's a third party. Devil or deliverer, the candidate who wins the White House in this current cycle must make a Faustian bargain to keep the police state in power. It's no longer a question of whether they will usher in a time of peace or usher in more totalitarianism. We know they're compromised. So, sure, we have some choices. You can vote Democrat, Republican, or third party. But if you vote Democrat or Republican, there's no real choice there. None. Remember Barack Obama, the young candidate who campaigned on a message of hope and change and transparency and peace, ending the war and surveillance? How'd that work out for you? Under Obama, government whistleblowers are routinely prosecuted. U.S. arms sales have skyrocketed. Police militarization has accelerated. Surveillance on everyone has become widespread. The U.S. government is literally arming the world while bombing the heck out of the planet. And while they're at it, the government is bringing the wars abroad home, transforming American communities into shell-shock battlefields where the Constitution provides little in the way of protection. And yes, we're worse off now than we were 8 years ago. We're being subjected to more government surveillance, more police abuse, more SWAT team raids, more roadside strip searches, more censorship, more prison time, more egregious laws, more endless wars, more invasive technology, more polluted food, more GMO food being grown, more of a whole new campaign to do a whole new round of nuclear weapons, more injustice, more corruption, more police profiling, also more assets forfeiture that we never had historically, more cronyism, more graft, more lies, and more of everything that has turned American dream into an American nightmare. What we're not getting more of is elected officials who actually represent us. The American people are being guilted, bullied, pressured, cajoled, intimidated, terrorized, and browbeaten into voting Democrat or Republican. You don't hear the media. You don't see the New York Times advocating for third parties. You don't see them deconstructing Hillary's record as they have with Trump. We're constantly told to vote because it's your so-called civic duty, because you have no right to complain about the government unless you vote, because every vote counts, because we must present a unified front, because the future of the nation depends on it, because God compels us to do so, because by not voting, you're in fact voting for the other candidate. So we are lied to. Nothing in the Constitution requires you to vote. You're under no moral obligation to vote for the lesser of evils. Indeed, voting for lesser evil is still voting for evil. Whether or not you cast your vote in this year's presidential election, you have every right to complain and criticize the government when it falls short of your expectations. But then don't turn around when you are being oppressed in an overtly corrupt country, as we are, and then say, oh, I'm being suppressed, repressed, hassled, harassed. What are you doing about it? If you want to boo, boycott, picket, protest, and altogether reject a corrupt political system that has failed you abysmally, good for you. Join us. I'll take an irate, engaged, informed, outraged American any day over an apathetic, constitutionally illiterate citizenry that is content to be diverted, distracted, and directed, and complacent and complied. Whether you vote or don't vote usually doesn't matter. What matters is what else you're doing to push back against government incompetence, abuse, corruption, graft, fraud, and cronyism, which is all we have in government, state, local, and federal. It's all one giant cesspool. Now show me by doing that high dive with beautiful form in a designer bathing suit, and you're diving into a completely filled, fetid cesspool. How does that work out for you? What metal are you going to get when your head emerges covered in that scum? Don't be fooled into thinking that the only road to reform is through the ballot box. After all, there's more to citizenship than the act of casting a ballot for someone who, once elected, will march in lockstep with the dictates of the powers that be. Yet as long as Americans are content to let politicians, war hawks, and corporate America run the country, the police state will prevail no matter which candidate wins on election day. In other words, it doesn't matter who sits in the White House, who controls the two houses of Congress, who gets appointed to the Supreme Court. Only those who are prepared to cozy up to the powers that be will have any real input. Now, recently on this program, I had Chris Hedges. Here's what he had to say. Quote, the predatory financial institutions on Wall Street will trash the economy and loot the U.S. Treasury on the way to another economic collapse, whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton is president. Poor, unarmed people of color will be gunned down in the streets of our cities, whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton is president. The system of neo-slavery in our prisons, where we keep poor men and women of color in cages because we have taken from them the possibility of employment, education, and dignity, will be maintained whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton is president. Millions of undocumented people will be deported whether Hillary or Donald is president. Austerity programs will cut or abolish public services, further decay the infrastructure, and curtail social programs, whether Donald or Hillary is president. Money will replace the vote, whether Hillary or Donald is president, and half the country, which now lives in poverty, will remain in misery, whether Donald or Hillary becomes president. This is not speculation. We know this because there has been total continuity on every issue, from trade agreements to war to mass deportations, between the Bush administration and the administration of Barack Obama. So, in other words, voting is not the answer, unless you vote for third party and then follow it up, where you actually challenge the moneyed oligarchs and you become socially engaged. Look, I don't look at our government as a Goliath. Instead, as a Leviathan, disguised as a political savior. So how do we prevail against the tyrant who says all the right things and does none of them? How do we overcome the despot whose promise fades with the spotlight? How do we conquer the dictator whose benevolence is all for show? We get organized. We get educated. We get active. That's what we do. So let us become active, not just in voting, but in social activity. Take your money out of their bank. Stop watching their media. Stop buying their products. Stop going to their schools. Stop voting for them. You do have the right to vote Jill Stein or Gary Johnson. You have the right to vote for other parties and then organize, because voting is just one step in the process. Organizing for the future is the second. And become that independent. Become that progressive human being that cares about the world. I'm Gary Noll. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.